appreciate the prayer that's gone forward, and certainly ask you continue to pray for me as I stand before you. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the topic of honor. The topic of honor. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about honor, and the Bible has a lot to say about glory and glorifying. But I think just to start off this morning, let me lay some groundwork that there is a difference between honor and glory. Glory brings with it a meaning of distinction, if you will. And honor brings with it a meaning of value, of a meaning of preciousness, or to highly esteem, to have a priority of something. That's what the word honor means. And in fact, you can see that's sometimes played throughout Scripture, where even in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "For ye are bought with a price." Well, when Paul says you're bought with a price, that Greek word there, price, is also translated in other places as honor. And so, again, honor brings with it this sense of value, if you will. But there's a distinction between glory and honor. That's why I think John wrote in Revelations, speaking about the Lord, he says that thou art worthy to receive power and glory and honor. And so he's listing them separately because there is a subtle difference between the two. But even though there's a subtle difference between the two and their meanings and their definitions, for most of the time, when you see in scriptures about giving glory and giving honor, they're pretty much the same. They're pretty much synonymous. You're saying, well, I'm giving glory, that is, I'm giving distinction, I'm giving praise for this distinction, and then I'm giving honor, that is, I'm giving value, I'm holding this out as precious or highly esteemed. And so there's really not much difference except in their definitions, but in the application of them, giving honor and giving glory, they're really about the same thing. And now, one thing to mention, too, is that not everybody is worthy of glory and honor. You say, well, Brother Nathan, that's a pretty bold statement to make, that not everybody's worthy of glory and honor. Well, I didn't say it. The Apostle Paul said it, I believe, in the book of Romans, when he says, give honor to them that are due honor. And so, I think when Paul says to give honor to those that are due that, he's saying there are some that are due honor, and then there are some that are not due honor. And so, we need to make sure that we're careful in doing that towards those that are worthy, and not doing it towards those that are not worthy. So the Bible has many specific examples, though, of those that are worthy of our honor. For example, parents are worthy of our honor. We're told to honor our father and our mothers. Well, this has happened to be ironic that I mentioned this first on Mother's Day, but when I was studying out, I thought that it fit pretty well. But the point is, we need to honor our parents. Now, as children, we're commanded to obey our parents. When we're young and we're living in their household, there's a great commandment to obey and to honor. But as we grow up and we get into mature years and we leave our mother and father's house, there's still a commandment that we would honor them. And that is, again, putting a priority on them, putting a great value on our parents. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, why do we need to do that? Well, first and foremost, because they've blessed us with the gift of life. We're here because of our parents, aren't we? And not only that, but they were given the task in raising us. They were charged to raise us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So they had a lot of responsibility along the way. And so we need to make sure we're honoring them for fulfilling that responsibility. But not only that, they have a lot of wisdom, don't they? To us younger folks, they have wisdom and years of experience that we simply don't have. And so we need to honor them in that regard. And so, again, one set of people that we're supposed to honor are parents. Well, Paul also talks about honoring another group of people. He writes to Timothy and he says, honor the widows that are widows indeed. And so you say, well, Brother Nathan, what is a widow indeed? Well, I think Paul spells it out pretty clear there when he writes to Timothy. A widow indeed is somebody that's desolate, somebody that is still trusting in the Lord, somebody that is faithful in their supplications and making prayers day and night, somebody that we're told has washed the saints' feet, has lodged strangers, somebody that is continuing putting themselves forward to good works. And so Paul is writing to Timothy and he says you need to honor widows that are widows indeed. Well, what does he mean by honor there? He means, again, put a priority upon them, put a preciousness upon them in the church. Because in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 5, he says that the church is to relieve those widows. That is, if we have widows that are widows indeed in our number, then as a church, we're to honor them by making sure that their needs are met, by making sure that they have all that they stand in need of in this life, to take care of them, that they would have the substance that they need and so forth. And so we honor them in that regard. But there's another group of people that we're to honor. And this one's interesting, but it's biblically based. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1 that we're to honor our masters. That we're to honor our masters. Now, I'm going to take that in today's context to be our employers. To be our bosses. We're to honor our bosses, if you will. And again, I say that's kind of an interesting person that we're to honor because maybe you haven't been in this position, but I've had jobs where I've had bosses that I really didn't care for. I've had jobs where I've had bosses that I really didn't think much about. And I've had jobs that I didn't really think that much about. I'm thankful that I don't have that now. I love my position where I'm at. I love my boss. I think he's a wonderful person. But yet, I've had those struggles along life's way. I would do anything and everything I could to avoid being around my boss, to avoid doing work and so forth. I just look frustrated at my desk. You know, that's one of the great ways to avoid work, isn't it? You hear the boss coming down the hall and just kind of hang your head and look frustrated. And he says, well, Meeks must be busy. I'll go on to the next guy. And so I've been in those types of situations. But, dear friends, that's not biblical. The biblical principle is that we should honor our employers, that we should put a high priority upon them, that we should give them the same quality of work that we would do even if our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was signing our paychecks. We ought to work for them just as though we're working for the Lord and honor them because it's through them that we then are able to provide for ourselves and our families. We're able to have everything we have in life because we're going to work and we're trying to do a good job for these, our employers. And so we need to honor them along that way. But then another one that we're supposed to honor, so we have parents and we have masters and we have the widows indeed. But another one that we're found to honor, to put a priority or a preciousness or a value upon is the king, right? We're told that we're to honor the king. Peter says to love the brotherhood and honor the king. Now this is different then when King Nebuchadnezzar had his experience, and then he said, I'm going to honor the king, and he's speaking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's a capital K, but when Peter says to honor the king, I think Peter's speaking about civil obedience. We as Christians have a duty to be civilly obedient here in this life. He doesn't say to honor the king if he's honorable. He doesn't say to honor the king as long as the king is not treading on me. Some people have that mentality, don't tread on me and so forth. And they'll go against everything that they think is contrary to their rights and so forth. But the message of the Bible is that if the king is not acting unbiblically or requiring something of you that is unbiblical, then you are to obey and honor the king as a person of great authority in that precious position, if you will. And so we're to honor them. Again, I've seen this not only in the Primitive Baptist, but in orders elsewhere. They'll say, well, you know, I have a right to carry a gun. And therefore, I'm not going to get the license that's required for me to carry that gun. I'm just going to do what I please and go on about my life. Or they'll say, well, I don't believe taxation is really right. I don't believe the way the government is spending my money is right. So therefore, I'm going to kind of withhold a little bit on my taxes or not pay them at all. Whatever the case may be, you can go to these different political agendas and find them. But again, the biblical message is that we are to honor the king. You find me one place in Scripture where it says you have a right to carry a gun, or it says you have a right to withhold taxes or something like that, to where the Christian can have the mindset, don't tread on me. You find me that in the Bible, and then I may change my position on this. But the fact of the matter is, you're not going to find it in the Bible. You find rather in the Bible to honor the king, to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, to also pray for your leaders that are in authority over you, that you might have a peaceable life here on earth. That's our duties as Christians in honoring the king. You know, the Lord's people have lived under different types of leaders all throughout history. They are currently living under different types of leaders here and now. I don't believe the Lord's people are constrained to the United States of America. The Lord has His people all across this world. And so they're living under different types of leaders and powerful regimes. But the point that I'm making is that even though there is this different array of leaders here on this earth, our duty is to honor those, but more importantly, to honor Christ and God by honoring those men in authority over us. Does that make sense this morning? We have a civil duty to obey the king, to honor the king. You say, well, Brother Nathan, why is that the case? Well, not only because the Bible says it's the case, but I was thinking this morning as I was driving up here and sort of meditating upon this, that right now, I'm a citizen, if you will, of the United States of America. But my true citizenship is not with the United States. I have that here for just a little while, if you will. But my true citizenship actually lies in heaven, right? Your citizenship as children of God actually lies in heaven. You're a child of the king. You belong to that country, to that wonderful and blessed country that we'll inherit one day. That's where your citizenship lies. And as a citizen of that country, you ought to be obedient to that king and listen to that king when he says to honor your king here. And so that ought to be what we strive to do. To honor the king as we're commanded to here. To render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And to pray for those that are in power over us. And so that's another person that we're to honor. But it says too in Peter that we're to honor wives as husbands. And I mentioned some of this last week. I preached on how husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so I won't go through all of that again, but some of you weren't here, so let me do a little recap. As husbands, we're commanded to obey, or excuse me, not to obey, but to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. And that is a love that entails self-sacrifice, that entails an unconditional type of love, a continual type of love. It's a love that is continually seeking her good in a spiritual way. And so we have all those types of things that are bottled up in loving our wives even as Christ loved the church. But Peter puts a different spin on it. Again, not contrasting that we're to love our wives, but he actually uses a different word, and he says that we're to honor our wives as husbands. We're to put a great priority, and we're to put a great price on them. We're to value our wives, if you will. Why? Because of what I spoke about last week. Because they help us along life's way. They've been ordained to be our helpmeet in this life, to be our companion, to be there on the ups and downs of this life. And so, in showing our appreciation for that, we're to honor our wives. And he actually says to dwell with them according to knowledge. That means that we're to do the very best we can to learn more and more about her as the days go by. To dwell with her according to knowledge. And so we're to honor our wives as well. Then it says we're to honor the ministry. So we have honoring the parents and widows indeed and the masters or our employers, honoring the king and our wives. But what about the ministry? The ministry is due honor, I believe. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy and he says that those that rule well are worthy of double honor. And Paul writes about his experience in Acts 28 in verse 10, and he was traveling through a certain region, and he says that they honored us, that is the ministry, they honored us with many honors. And so you have kind of the verb tense of honor and also the noun sense of honor. They honored us with many honors. And Christ said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Now that's not something to strive for. The prophets that are in our own country are due honor. He's just stating a fact. Sometimes prophets, when they're in their own country and the people around them know them too well, sometimes they don't give them the honor that's really due unto them. So he's not saying it's okay to not do that. He's just stating a fact that prophets are not without honor except in their own country. And so, again, there's a great honor that is due the ministry. Those that rule well are worthy of double honor. That doesn't mean double the paycheck. That doesn't mean whatever you're going to give me, double it because I'm ruling well. That's certainly not true in my case, perhaps. But the fact of the matter is, when he says that they're worthy of double honor, that is meaning that they're worthy of double esteem, that they're worthy of double priority, if you will. You ought to count them as doubly precious as you would for those that rule well. Why? Well, because there's a great value in the ministry. They're charged with overseeing the flock. They're charged with feeding the flock of God, to feeding the sheep of God, to giving them the spiritual food that they need so that they might grow spiritually in this life, that they might grow in their knowledge of the Lord. And so there's a great value in that. There's a perishing that comes forward when there's no preaching, when there's no prophesying, when there's no prophet, if you will, when there's no word going forth, there is a perishing that will happen. That alone ought to show the great value that comes in the ministry. I can take you around just the state of Indiana and I can show you churches that have closed their doors because there's been no profit there, because there's been no value placed on the ministry there, if you will. And so there's a great value in the ministry. And again, those examples are all around us. If there was no value, I was thinking about this too. There's no value. I don't know why Christ would say to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. There must be a great value in having laborers if Christ is saying that we need to pray for that. And so you honor the ministry by making them a priority. And I'm not saying that here because I don't think you do. I know that you do, and I appreciate that. Anywhere I go across this country, I'm only going to have good things to say about how Fort Wayne Church treats their preacher. But there's still an honor that's due to the ministry. And then there's an honor that's due one another. There's a value that we ought to place on each other here in the church, isn't there? In fact, Paul writes in Romans, and he says that we are to, with honor, prefer one another. So there's a great value, a great priority, a great preciousness that we ought to have for one another, to have on those that are companions along life's way in this spiritual journey. Those that are with us every week, those that are with us throughout the week, there's a great value to be had on those people. What did the songwriter say? He said that the friends that most cheer me on life's rugged road are the friends of my master, the children of God. Dear friends, we ought to have a greater priority for one another. I don't know about you. I could do better in this. I need to place a higher priority on you all. We ought to place a higher priority on each other in our lives, to treat each other as brethren, to treat each other as companions, and to say, because you're my brethren and because you're my companions, I'm going to do everything that is necessary that this relationship would not be affected. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to see you as a priority in my life. And I'm telling you, dear friends, when you see each other as a priority, you'll be less likely to see each other in a negative way. You'll be less likely to see each other through the eyes of pride. You'll be less likely to say, well, they're just not doing what they need to be doing, or they ought to be doing this. Dear friends, if we're looking at each other and we're saying they're a priority, they're so precious to me, then I believe our church will be better off in this regard. And so there's an honor that's to go along with that, to place a value and a priority on one another, that our fellowship would not be hindered. But then there's an honor of self. There's an honor of self. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Nathan. That's a pretty bold statement, too. What do you mean that we're to honor ourselves? Well, if you turn over to Thessalonians this morning and chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, let me just read this. He says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, this not only teaches, I think, a timely application of sanctification, but he's saying that we ought to possess our own vessels, that is, our own bodies, not only in sanctification, that is, trying to live more and more godly lives, but also seeing the value and the priority that is to be had, that is, the honor that goes with it. And so there's an honor for ourselves. Dear friends, you, as I've already alluded to, are the children of the King. You're important to the Lord. You are the apple of His eye. You are the one that He delights in, the one that He gave Himself for so that you might live in glory with Him. You are very important to Him. And so there's a great value that we ought to have upon ourselves in honoring ourselves and saying, I'm a child of the King, and that I'm going to live my life as a child of the King in an honorable way, that I'm going to possess this vessel that I have in an honorable way. That is, I'm going to have self-control. Paul is writing here in Thessalonians, and the context there is about sexual impurity, and he's saying that you need to flee from that type of behavior, and you need to possess your own vessels in sanctification and honor. That is, through self-control, you might place a priority on your life and your lifestyle and the way that you behave yourself. Because in how you behave yourself and in how you make that lifestyle a priority through self-control, you're honoring the Lord. You're actually honoring God through that. In fact, if you look over to 1 Corinthians this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, I think that we'll see this point is borne up. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 20. He says, for you are bought with a price. Again, that's that word honor, the Greek word. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Now, glorify God, as I said, is essentially the same as honoring God. So we have all these other groups of people that we're to honor, but now we're talking about honoring God. And he says that you're bought with a price, therefore glorify or honor God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Dear friends, let me say this morning, I know that you're aware of this, but let me say it anyways. The Lord is worthy of our honor. He's worthy of our glory. Right? Didn't we already say that in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11? Thou art worthy to receive power and glory and honor. The psalmist says to give unto the Lord the glory, that is the honor that is due unto His name. He is worthy of our honor and our glory. And how we honor Him is how we live our lives here. You say, well, Brother Nathan, why do I need to worry about honoring the Lord? Because of all these other groups of people, the kings and the masters and the lords and so forth, He's above every one of them. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. He's the Master of masters. He's the Father of fathers. That's why we glorify Him, because He's greater than all these others. And we're commanded to honor Him. In fact, if you turn to Malachi this morning, again, I'm sorry for so many references, but the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, in chapter 1 and verse 6. These people at this time were not doing a very good job honoring the Lord. And so he poses them a question because they had been bringing the leftovers for offerings, if you will. But in verse 6, he says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. Now notice this is the Lord speaking. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? Where's the honor of the Lord? Where's the honor that we place, the priority that we place on Him? Again, it's how we behave ourselves here in this life. Paul says that we glorify, we honor God through our body and our spirit. Some have the idea that we have a private relationship with God and they're not really going to show any types of discipleship on the surface because what they have with the Lord is private. No, dear friends, if you want to honor the Lord to the greatest extent, you'll honor Him not only privately and within your heart and your spirit, but you'll honor Him with your body. That is, outwardly show Him honor and glory through being faithful to the church. In fact, the psalmist said, I think I quoted this several weeks ago, the psalmist says that he was going to be faithful to the house of the habitation of the Lord where His honor dwelleth. If you want to honor the Lord outwardly with your body, then you need to be faithful to His service, the house of His habitation. That's here at Fort Wayne Primitive Baptist Church. Dear friends, be faithful in His service and you're honoring Him through that faithfulness. I know sometimes it's a struggle. I know sometimes it seems like on a beautiful day there might be other things going on. There might be baseball games. There might be other sporting events, family affairs and so forth. But dear friends, make time for the Lord and being faithful to His cause and kingdom. I believe the Lord will reward you in that. But that's how we honor Him, by again being faithful in His house. Or we find too in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 that there is an honor being given to the Lord by giving Him our first fruits. That is, giving Him the very best of what we have to offer. Again, the people here in Malachi, they were struggling with that. They were bringing the lame and the dumb and so forth. They were bringing all these crippled sheep and sacrifices and so forth. And the Lord saying, "Where's mine honor? Where's mine honor?" Dear friends, you honor the Lord by giving Him the first fruits of your life. The very best that you have of your time. To wake up each morning and not wait until the sun goes down to acknowledge the Lord, but first thing in the morning, as soon as your eyes open, say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day. Bless me today that I might do things to Thy glory and Thy honor." Spend time throughout the day reading His Word, being attentive to the things that He says. That's how you honor Him. By giving Him the first fruits of your time and your strength and your substance. By saying, "He's a priority in my life. And I'm going to do all that I can for Him." And so we do that with our body outwardly. But then we do it inwardly with the heart too. And the spirit. We inwardly commit ourselves to the commandments of the Lord. To submit to the ordinances of the Lord. To embrace the truth of the doctrines of grace. And the gospel message. We do that inwardly and stand for them along life's way. That's how we honor the Lord in our body and in our spirit. He says, "Where is mine honor?" Again, I believe that's something that we can do in our behavior here in this life. How we behave, we honor Him through that. And I said that I thought the Lord would bless you along that lifestyle. Well, I'm not just saying that. Actually, Scripture says that. If you look over to 1 Samuel, the Lord says that those that honor Him, I will honor, and those that despise me, I will esteem lightly. What He's saying there is, if you treat me as a priority, if you honor me, you're going to be a priority for me. And if you despise me, if you put me down a little bit more on the totem pole, then I'm going to put you in about in that same position. I'm going to esteem you lightly. And so there's wonderful blessings that come from honoring the Lord as we're commanded. And again, we honor Him too in honoring all those other people that He told us to honor. I won't go through that list again. But if you have any questions, come and see me after service. I hope the Lord will bless you in this, that you'll take this to heart and go home and study upon it. Maybe I've missed some other groups of people that we're to honor. But let's stand and sing a song, give the right hand of fellowship this morning.